Hello, friends. Today is the 15th of July, 2013. And we are continuing with Esoteric Astrology Adventure, beginning with 120A on page 454. We've been dealing with some matters here that have to do with the planetary center, which corresponds to the base of the spine. And we have looked over some of the tabulations and seen that they give different perspectives. The mineral kingdom oftentimes seems associated with that. And I just thought that perhaps this could have something to do with the increased etherealization of the mineral kingdom. It is heading towards radioactivity and eventually, I think, towards etherealization. And what we will have here at the end of the seventh root race will be an awakening. Now, the radioactive state is a kind of awakening, as it is in the human being. When we human beings become radioactive in our soul nature, we are achieving a degree of liberation, and so will the mineral kingdom. Will it be the seventh root race of our particular round? It seems that that is what he is saying. There are seventh root races of many rounds, and there will be rounds as well, if they're not already going on the fifth chain, sixth chain, and seventh chain. The question about the simultaneity of rounds is to be answered. There are two types of rounds, a chain round, and that's the type we're familiar with, and also, I think, a larger type of round called a scheme round. When you look at Venus, it's in its fifth scheme round. Earth appears to be in its fourth scheme round, and focusing on its fourth chain round as well, within the fourth chain. In any case, that will occur when right relationship is established between the planetary sacral center, which is related to the third kingdom in nature, the animal kingdom, that to a degree, and also to the Deva kingdom, and the planetary throat center. There will have to be, I think in this round, the door to the animal kingdom, to the human kingdom from the animal kingdom is pretty well closed, except for a few exceptions that he talks about, and this will be a rising of the sacral center towards the throat center, which in some ways can represent humanity. There are so many different perspectives on this, and DK has told us that it is a question of time, largely, when we look at the function that any particular grouping may play within the whole, it may change over time. So that is the issue, and we don't have enough knowledge yet to know the different types of things that occur at different times on our planet. But suffice it to say, when in the human being the sacral and the throat center are related, there is a change from procreativity to creativity. And this may have something to do with the possibility of the individualization of members of the animal kingdom, the movement from the sacral center to the throat. Of course, the Deva kingdom is also involved in this relationship to the sacral center, because the sacral center is involved with the production of form, and in the human being, the production of physical form. And it may be that the form-building aspect of the Devas is thereby related. If you think about the Deva's relation to the seventh ray, it's very strong. And DK gives as the ruler of the sacral center the seventh ray planet Uranus, although it's not the only planet involved with the sacral center. The moon is there, Earth to a certain extent, Mars definitely. But anyway, in the rulerships on page 517 and 517 of this book, which we will rapidly be approaching, Uranus is given as the ruler of the sacral center. And Uranus is, in a way, the etheric builder, which produces outer form because of the building he does etherically. So that's just a little additional material on the commentary that I supplied earlier. We move on. In the first volume of this treatise, let's see here, certain hints were given, and then to the planetary centers, the rays and the rays of energy pouring through them. And that's what we were starting to review in the 400s of the Esoteric Psychology book. We do note that it is a five-fold treatise, and esoteric astrology does not stand on its own, nor does esoteric psychology, nor does esoteric healing, or the science of the rays and the initiations. They are all related in this great second ray treatise. To these I would like to refer, here to refer, because they are related to the science of triangles. You should note that the three lower kingdoms in nature constitute in themselves a triangle of force. And that's true. The mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdom ruled in a way by the first and seventh ray from the mineral point of view, by the second, fourth, and sixth from the vegetable point of view, and the animal point of view might be three and six, although the fifth ray could be entering for some of the more advanced animals who are heading towards individualization, or at least first towards domestication. It's the beginning of the preparation of the mental unit. The fifth ray has to be involved in that. We're dealing with the concrete mind and the creating of a focus within the concrete mind. So you should note that the three lower kingdoms in nature constitute in themselves a triangle of force and are essentially a reflection of a particular planetary triangle. Now you might kind of wonder what that is. Certainly we can relate the planet Mars. Yeah, we can relate the planet Mars to the animal kingdom, the planet Venus to the planet Venus to the vegetable kingdom, and why not relate Vulcan to the mineral kingdom? And so, in a way, the first three planets from the sun, well, no, they're not the first three. We're leaving out Mercury, which is related to the human kingdom. But anyway, planets relatively close to the sun might be the ones that are this particular triangle. And let's just say, proposing Vulcan, mineral, Saturn could also be involved in that, Venus, a vegetable kingdom, and Mars, animal kingdom. It might be of service if I here briefly tabulated again for you certain of these major inferences, for they are little more than inferences at this time. In other words, pointing in the direction of knowledge which later can be confirmed. So much of what we're doing here in these commentaries is inferring. In other words, based upon the knowledge presented, what are the implications, what is pointed to as possible of confirmation and yet cannot be confirmed by the knowledge stated. One point is of real interest here. I've stated that humanity is the correspondence in the planetary life to the Ajna center in the individual man. And that is true to a certain extent. Now, we should not lose the, we should not lose humanity's relationship to the, throat center of the planetary logos, because the new group of world servers, the higher brackets of humanity, are particularly related to the Ajna center. It is the Ajna center within Sanat Kumar, we're told, the new group of world servers. But from another point of view, if we look at if we look here at our planetary scheme, we see that the great planetary chains are as chakras. So entire chains can be looked at as chakras, and they are, in a sense, larger than the expression of any kingdom within the planetary scheme. The kingdoms, of course, are system-wide. And so when you consider a vast kingdom appearing on all the different planets, then perhaps it is a greater entity. But when you look at the place of a kingdom within a planetary scheme, it seems to be less of a chakra than that of a chain lord. And these kingdoms are manifesting on globes, and the globes include them, the globe lords. So perhaps even the chakra representing the globe lord is greater than the place of the kingdom. Well, this is a complex issue, but you can see that there are some pretty large structures taking the place of chakras within the planetary logos. Okay, earlier I told you that the fifth ray, that the fifth ray of concrete knowledge, no, we don't want that. No, I don't want that. These things do come up, you know. All right, resuming then. He says, I told you that the fifth ray of concrete knowledge is related to the Ajna center, and therefore, in this present world cycle, you have the following. Humanity, planetary Ajna center, fifth ray of knowledge, and fifth root race. It has sometimes, shall I say, been inferred, if not confirmed, that the personality ray of the of humanity is the fifth, and its soul the fourth. The fifth ray will be the ray of the personality of humanity in the Aquarian age, and maybe in a larger sense, it is the ongoing ongoing ray. But certainly during the fifth ray Aquarian age, in other words, Aquarius constellationally transmits one ray, that's the fifth, so it makes sense that the humanity's function will be in the Aquarian age, certainly closely allied with this fifth ray, and maybe in a more general and ongoing sense, at least for a while, until the second and fourth ray become the rays of humanity, the second ray soul, and I believe the fourth ray personality. So anyway, humanity, the planetary Ajna center. Now we would have to ask, what about the new group of world servers as the planetary Ajna center? Because he always talks about the new group of world servers. Maybe we can quickly look that up. Let's see if we can find this. Yes, let's just say new group world servers, Ajna. And the Ajna center of the Lord of the World, and here it is, this is in the rays and the initiations. So we would want to put this in. The Ajna center of the Lord of the World is just beginning to express itself in a recognizable manner through the new group of world servers. The intermediate, this intermediate group between the hierarchy and humanity is carried, is a carrier of the energy which makes the plan possible, the plan of which hierarchy is the custodian. The plan implements the purpose, and later, when the new group of world servers is organized and is recognized as a living organism, it will definitely receive energy from Shambhala in a direct reception via the hierarchy. It won't be like the Buddha, who represents Shambhala directly, but from the hierarchy, Shambhalic energy will enter the new group of world servers, because the hierarchy is approaching Shambhala more closely all the time. Well, I think we should put this together with what we've been studying, because here he tells us that we have humanity representing the Ajna center, and yet if we look more closely, we'll see it's the new group of world servers said to represent, page 368, raised and initiations, RI 368. So which is it? Is it the upper brackets of humanity in the new group of world servers? Or is it humanity as a whole? Or is it that humanity itself will become a world server? and that the entire group of humanity really will be the new group of world servers. Well, it doesn't seem likely in any short term, inasmuch as there are those who won't even be on the path until the fifth round. So I don't think we can look at the entirety of humanity as entering the ranks of the new group of world servers. All right, humanity, planetary action center, fifth ray of knowledge, fifth root race, and this we know is our present Aryan root race, now in transition to the sixth sub-race, which will be a bridge into the sixth root race, which will last some 10 million years. Therefore, five centers in man are rapidly awakening. We must say that with the sacral center subsiding, and the base of spine center not yet activated. Five centers in man are active, rapidly awakening, and these relationships prove each other, but only when seen in relation to the greater cycle. And unfortunately, you know, this is one of the major areas of blinding. We don't know what truly a greater cycle is here. There are just, you know, quite a number of greater cycles. Can it be, you know, the root race cycle, or can it be possibly the round? In other words, one of those rounds. There are rounds, greater rounds around the Pleiades, we are told, but they last only 250,000 years, and the fourth round, according to Blavatsky, is lasting in excess of 300 million years. So could we be speaking of a round? Humanity was at one time the correspondence of the planetary solar plexus center. Well, that had to have been in this round, necessarily, because there was no humanity on our fourth chain, fourth globe before this particular round. This had to have been in this fourth round. So humanity at one time was the correspondence to the planetary solar plexus center. Could that have been in Atlantean days? And could the large cycle we're talking about be the root race cycle, which do last millions of years, though they are not even in their duration? And someday will shift the focus of its receptivity to the planetary heart center. Now, here, I'm going to erase this and put it more where it belongs. Now, this doesn't mean that humanity will become the hierarchy. What it means is, Mercury retrograde. That's all I can say. Just try to do something like this when Mercury is retrograde. And someday we'll shift the focus of its receptivity to the planetary heart center. This means that humanity as a whole will be receptive to hierarchy. That's what I think it means. When this takes place, the hierarchy will shift its focus of receptivity into the sphere of influence of Shambhala. This is already in process, as the members of hierarchy are striving towards greater Shambhalic receptivity. Of this shift, the presence of the 12-petaled heart center and the soul on its own plane, the 12-petaled lotus in the highest head center, the relating point between the heart center and the soul on its own plane, is the guarantee. This is interesting because Shambhala contains within itself the number 12, and this 12 should be related to the monad, which is resident in Shambhala. just begun to realize through certain hints that, through certain hints that there is a 12-ness, a Piscean 12-ness within the monadic structure. Exactly what that is, we don't know. We do know that there is some 12-ness within the egoic lotus. Certainly the 12 petals are there. And one of the functions of this heart and the head center, we might say, one function of the heart and head center is to receive energy directly from the egoic lotus. Now, it also has higher functions. But if it is the relating point between the heart center and the soul on its own plane, the structure of which is 12-fold, then at least one of its types of receptivity is to that soul. But also, I think, to structures on the Buddhic plane and to organizations on the Buddhic plane and to the monad and to structures on the monadic plane. This heart and the head center is really the highest of the lotuses we have. It's like the very center of the thousand-petaled lotus. And the zodiac is that as well. The zodiac corresponds to this particular, it corresponds to the heart center, corresponds to the heart and the head center, and also to the egoic lotus, and I believe there is a monadic correspondence as well, as that zodiac does affect the monad, does affect the egoic lotus, does affect our etheric chakras, the heart and the head, and the heart as well. This is the descent of hearts, you might say. The following relations must consequently be borne in mind: that the head center of our planet is Shambhala. I guess this is largely taken from EP1. Head center Shambhala, first ray, and it relates to the first and seventh races. So the Adamic race and the seventh root race. It relates to will and to the final pattern and purpose, you might say, which is certainly an arrangement of energies. Purpose is an intended, it is a prototypical arrangement of energies which will be worked out in all of the manifesting energies. So we're dealing here with the energy of life, with synthesis, and you know what synthesis really is. It's a mysterious oneness. I think the Tibetan can sometimes refer to it that way, mysterious oneness. It allows for variety, but still the variety is all understood and seen as essentially one thing. So by that time, seven centers are awakened and functioning, and I suppose seven centers are awakened and functioning, and this would be also, if we're talking about shambolic responsiveness, centers within the head, the seven head centers, the greater seven, as they are called. So in the first root race, these centers, whatever they were alive and faintly vibrating. Who knows what the chakric condition of the beings of the first root race was. They were not intelligent. They were not individualized, but they still had to have supportive energy centers. In the seventh root race, presumably of our round or of any round, but our round is the one that's being discussed, these centers are fully awakened. The centers are fully awakened, and also the seven centers within the head, or maybe additionally, as some charts seem to show, the seven centers above the head. In relation to that, there is this book on the chakras, and maybe here that we have something of a picture. There we go. Something of a picture of these centers. They're called the Ajna series, and this is in the Hindu system. But other than the great thousand-petal lotus or Sahasrara chakra, we have the Guru chakra, the Visarga chakra, the Nirvana chakra, the Mahanada chakra, the Indu chakra, and the Manas chakra. And all of these are part of the Ajna series. I wonder how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And if we count the Sahasrara chakra, then we actually have 7. So you begin to wonder, you know, I cannot confirm the validity of this chart, this illustration, but there are 7, there are 14, there are 21, and altogether, each 7 representing each of the three aspects, you have the 22, or the master number. So it is possible that we have chakras within the body, we have chakras within the head, and we have chakras above the head. This, of course, is speculation. But these tendrils of speculation may put themselves occasionally in the intuitive socket and get that jolt of truth which says, yes, thus it is so. So rather than necessarily wait to be informed by the intuition, as lightning does, you put up a kind of filament which attracts the downward rush of what we usually call lightning. But from the earth, the lightning is attracted. It's a bit of an anti-Quranic process, and so is speculation to a certain extent. I guess there's kind of a third ray bias here when one speaks of speculation in this way, but it can have a legitimate function and a useful purpose. All right, so we go on then to the heart center. It is the hierarchy of our planet. It does express the second ray. It will come into strong existence in the sixth root race, and love will be the goal. Above, I guess, its will is the goal. It's funny with the semicolon there. Maybe what I should do is turn to the page and see how it's actually listed to make sure that I've got it correctly. So this is Esoteric Astrology, and we're on page 455. I guess it should be a colon, you know. Will is the goal, love is the goal. But I have a semicolon, so we'll just have to live with that. Interestingly enough, Brazil will be very important in the root race number 6. It has 2 soft line rays for its expression, and I think we have a combination of Leo and Virgo. Okay, let's see. Esoteric Astrology, Brazil, or could it be spelled with a B-R-A-S? No, not really. So let's quickly look over here, and in all the books, there's 16 references to Brazil. And here it is with Leo as the sole ruler. They're corresponding with Italy, too. How interesting. The egoic ray is the 4th. And the 2nd ray, personality through Virgo. Well, you can see a lot of the 2 and 4 and 6 line in this country, which will be so important, emerging during the sixth root race. The heart is definitely active, more energy coming through Virgo of a second ray type at this time than through any other sign, and Virgo is the personality ray. Virgo is the personality sign of the second ray personality. United States and Great Britain and Australia probably, and New Zealand probably, those countries in the British Commonwealth, Canada probably, they probably all have the second ray soul. And I think they will be very responsive to hierarchy during the period of the sixth root race. Just imagine, 10 million years root race. We've only really been confirmed in the fifth root race for about a million years, though Philip Lindsay, in his excellent book, The Hidden History of Humanity, suggests that from the time the fifth subrace of the fourth root race occurred, there were already incipient beginnings of the fifth root race. So this is the energy of identification. And it's something towards which we, many of us, are striving. As what may be the energy of life? What can we call it? Will it be, can we call it being? Identification is something more, or, well, actually, something less. It is the realization of being, the recognition of being, the seeing oneself as one with being. So there will be an achievement of fusion under the second ray. Six centers will be functioning. What will they be? Probably the center at the base of the spine will not yet be fully functioning, nor will the center at the top of the head. The focal point of the egoic consciousness of divinity under the second aspect, this is the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God, and it doesn't tell us which kingdom is involved with Shambhala, but it could well be the kingdom of planetary lives. And the next lower kingdom, which is the fifth, is the kingdom of God. Now, from this method of assigning the different kingdoms to the chakras, we have humanity as the Ajna Center, the fifth root race, and intuition is the goal. Now up here, we have love as the goal, and intuition is the revealer of love. They are closely related. The transcendental mind is the goal. This is Mercurian. And from another respect up here, identification, fusion, love is the goal. We have sort of Venus, Jupiter, Neptune. Interestingly, the planets active at the second initiation, and this is the second of the centers counting downward, at least in terms of their importance. Although the Ajna Center is within the head, it is actually the heart which is of greater moment than the Ajna Center from certain perspectives. Well, the Ajna Center has multiple functions. So this is what humanity is, and there is the need to develop inclusiveness, which the intuition reveals. That inclusiveness is on the way to the love, which is to be developed during the sixth root race. But now here we are in the sixth sub-race, almost, of the fifth root race, at which time the abstract mind is to be developed under the number six, a number of abstraction. The abstract mind to be developed, and not yet the full intuition, but that is coming. The sixth root race will be in itself an intuitive race. Five centers rapidly awakening, And of the second group, it says six centers functioning. So the very centers which are functioning in the sixth root race are rapidly awakening in the fifth, and we will exclude the sacrocenter and the base of spine center. The base of spine center may not even be awakening in the sixth root race, because that corresponds in a way to the fourth initiation, whereas the fifth root race corresponds to the third initiation, and the seventh root race in a way to mastership. And it is in mastership that the base of the spine center awakens fully. In mastership, the base of spine center awakens fully. Okay. So the focal point is personality at first, and then also according to the number five, it would be the egoic lotus and the solar angel coming in under the number five as well as two. The Ajna Center is related to the human kingdom, to producing the full human being, and even the awakening spiritual human being. It is the fourth kingdom in nature. All right. Now we go a little lower, and we have the throat center, and we say that this is often identified with humanity in other tabulations. But okay, we're just going with the tabulation as given. It connects with the third ray, it is the third kingdom. And it relates to the third root race, where man was more animal than he was human, although towards the end of that root race, we're told there were some greater civilizations which were more human and which showed the solar angels that their efforts had been worthwhile. Intellect is the goal. And we can understand that from the third ray perspective, understandable from the third ray perspective. PR, and also from the fifth ray, let's see how I do that, perspective. So the energy of illumination creating in the light, and the growth of light in the animal kingdom, leading to the domestication of the higher animals and their eventually merging into the human kingdom. So growth of mental light in this kingdom. There are four centers functioning. The focal point is the instinctual consciousness. The animal does intelligently, because guided by still higher beings of which the animal is a part, but does not know why it does so. It simply does. In the doing, without knowing, the instinct is indicated. So what centers would we have to take away here? We have in man everything functioning except the sacral center, which is dying away, and the base of spine center. Well, the sacral center is very active in the animal, but not the Ajna center. We might say, Ajna center not active, and head center also probably not active. So we would have the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, and the sacral center. Throat, heart, solar plexus, and sacral center. Those would seem to be ones which would make sense. Now, the solar plexus, the vegetable kingdom again, interesting here that the third root race correspondence, a lower root race, is with the animal kingdom, and the fourth root race correspondence is connected with the vegetable kingdom, a lower kingdom. This intelligent movement towards an objective, which is instinct, is the goal. The 2-4-6 line is definitely accented here. And this is related to the solar plexus of the planet. The sixth ray of aspiration is indicated here. And the fourth root race of man was an aspirational root race, so you can see the correspondence. It was strongly emotional, and rather than reaching towards divinity with mind, it reached towards divinity with the upflowing aspirational nature, the elevated emotional nature. So the unfoldment of sensitivity is the key, and let's just say that animals have this. They can approach and recoil under the law of attraction, but of course, to an extent, the vegetable kingdom has the law of attraction as well. Aspiration is noted by the, aspiration is noted by the reaching of the plant towards the sun, the turning, we might say. And in the stalk of many plants, which seems to uprise towards the sun, we have a symbol of aspiration. There are three centers functioning. It's the second kingdom of nature, and corresponding with the it's a focal point for psychic response. Actually, plants do really respond to music. We have now seen in certain experiments. There is this, the law of attraction does operate. But there is no third ray mobility. As the throat center is related to the third ray, it must be eliminated, though present in the animal kingdom. So we don't hear plants having the voice, do we? But throughout the animal kingdom, the voice is much developed, and all the way from the amazingly sophisticated sounds of certain birds to the roar, the growl, the screech. And of course, some animals do not yet have the voice, but when they do get the voice, it indicates that they have moved into the realm of the third ray, the throat center. So what are the centers that are left? What centers remain? Well, heart, solar plexus, and sacrocenter. There is polarity in plants and reproduction, so the sacrocenter is there. Solar plexus indicates its aspirational nature, and the heart is the heart of life. And I don't think we can remove that from a kingdom which is primarily on the 2-4-6 line and more advanced relatively than any kingdom on our planet. Now the sacral center. And that's what I was looking for. I went looking in other books, but he turns out to want to repeat that in this particular book. I could have saved all of us a few minutes there, could I not? So the sacral center is related to the Deva evolution, and the sacral center is often eliminated, as we saw in our 18-fold chart just recently. He says it's an evocation between that which is above and that which is below. It's not considered necessary. And when man has gone through a period in which the division of the sexes began, but it will not always remain. A sexual division exists in the animal kingdom, actually in the plant kingdom. I don't think we can say so in the mineral kingdom. But the devas are so necessary to produce the tangible form, and that is what the sacral center does. Even though the devas are invisible to the ordinary senses, the evidence of their presence is in the production of form. So here they are related to the seventh ray and to Uranus and to the second root race. And what was that? Notice the different root races. They're not going in order here, are they? We began with the animal kingdom related to the Lemurian root race, the vegetable to the Atlantean. Now we're going to jump backwards to the Hyperborean race. And so responsiveness is the goal. Is this different from the animal, from what went on with the solar plexus? What is the goal there? Focal point of psychic response. Instinct is the goal. How to move intelligently, even if one doesn't know, towards a goal intelligently. How to move, you know. That is missing from the vegetable kingdom, though there are in certain forms animal-like traits. I even when I look at the Venus flytrap, interestingly enough, it's a carnivorous plant and moving towards the animal kingdom. But plants do remain rooted. I suppose there's some release of spores and other aspects of plants which fly through the air, but generally they don't propel themselves of their own mobility. Well, maybe some botanist would be able to fill in the detail. In general, we have the plantedness and rootedness of plants, and trees sway in the wind, but they don't move by themselves unless you're looking at Lord of the Rings and the Ents, which were movable trees or self-moving trees and near-mated trees. So anyway, the devas are sensitive. And responsiveness is the goal, and they seem to possess it. So they are very much under the law of attraction and repulsion. Law of attraction and repulsion. And we are told, actually, that devas choose, at least the self-conscious ones, choose whether they will or not attend certain ceremonies, and they have to be invited, and they will only come if the quality of purity of those who are officiating and participating in the ceremonies is sufficient. They cannot be forced, as can the elemental kingdom. But when we talk about the Deva evolution here, we may be talking about something larger, which includes the possibly includes the elemental kingdom. There's kind of a division between animal deva and elemental, or rather human deva and elemental. I think that would be correct. Well, anyway, I see a correspondence here, just between the first the three parts of the second ray. There's the first ray part and the second ray part. You know, just like there's human and devas. But then the second part divides into two, and that would be deva and elementals, just the way the second part divides into the pure second ray and the third ray. The deva kingdom possesses the third ray and the second ray. Humanity possesses the second ray and the first ray, or at least those are considered the major descriptors of that kingdom. It has kind of an innate intelligence, but it is the two and one that are given to that kingdom. And the elementals seem to be largely under the third ray with no second ray at all. So responsiveness is the goal, and I suppose there are all different degrees of responsiveness in that kingdom, all the way up to a very, very high and sophisticated responsiveness in the higher brackets of the kingdom, an acute sensitivity which mankind must learn about, which must be taught to man. The energy of magnetism is here, holding things in coherence so that a form can be sustained, and the power to build, which is also movement towards coherence. So holding in coherence, not incoherence, but in coherence. And building is an arrangement which creates coherence. Building is an arranging, an act of arranging, which produces coherence and lasting coherence if the building is done correctly. Now, it's very interesting. We have the Deva evolution is not one of the kingdoms, so we have broken our sequence of kingdoms to introduce the Deva evolution. The highest of these groups is the Shambhalic group, and they contain the kingdom of planetary lives, the sixth kingdom, and some of them may be solar lives as well, really having their inherency in the solar logos, just as I would say the planetary logoi do. They are chakric expressions of the solar logos. One even wonders whether they have any real independence, but then with emanative theory, you wonder whether anything has any real independence. There's no such thing as cutting off any unit from that which precipitated it or produced it. The kingdom of the second group is the hierarchy, and it relates to the kingdom of souls. So we're having the kingdoms descend, six and five. The kingdom of souls is the fifth. The third group is humanity, and it this is the human kingdom, or the fourth. The fifth group is the animal kingdom. Notice how we're descending in kingdoms. And I don't think that it doesn't call it anything else than the animal kingdom. And then the plant kingdom is the fifth group. And its number is, let's see. All right, so the human kingdom is the human kingdom is the third down, and it is the fourth kingdom. The animal kingdom is the fourth down, and it is the third kingdom. The vegetable kingdom is the fifth down, and it is the second kingdom. And then we break the kingdoms, and we insert the Deva evolution, which is not really a part of the series of kingdoms. There are seven kingdoms, you know. From above, the solar, planetary, kingdom of souls, human, animal, vegetable, mineral. And so that's seven kingdoms. But what's left out is the kingdom of solar lives, because we are really producing a chart with the septenate here. The kingdom of solar lives is left out. We start with the kingdom of planetary lives. Then there will only be six as we move downward towards the mineral. And we insert the form-building Deva kingdom, realizing in a way that the Deva kingdom is different from what we've been discussing, just the way the sacral center can be removed. So we have the power to build. There are two centers functioning, the heart and sacral center, and what have we just removed? Why is there no, well, we hear of Devic aspiration, so why have we removed the solar plexus center? Because it is the sixth, because it's not the sixth, the sacral is the sixth, because it expresses the sixth ray corresponding to this sixth position. The heart seems to persist, and DK is particularly telling us this because before he did not tell us which ones of the centers were functioning. Here he tells us specifically. So the sacral center is functioning in the effort to build, and it may be, can it be suggesting a division of the sexes within the Deva kingdom? You know, there's positive and negative electricity, and that's a very low level of polarity, but perhaps this polarity rises through the advancing devas as well. And basically, the deva kingdom is a feminine kingdom and has much greater access to the heart than the human kingdom has. So the heart is natural enough, but why the removal of the solar plexus? Because there is certainly aspiration in the deva kingdom. So we'll have to put that up as kind of a question to Master DK to be responded to at a certain point. And the focal point of vibratory response to the eye of God. We do know both the eye and the voice move or command the devas. So the all-seeing eye is in a way on the second ray, but it has this power to move things. It's the third aspect of the all-seeing eye, the eye of God. So we see things with the imagination. Imagination has a third aspect connotation. We see with the imagination, and what we see is arranged by the seeing. So we arrange through the eye. Arrangement relates to the third and seventh ray, the seventh ray being the ray of exact arrangement, one way of looking at it. Okay, there are mysteries here. Obviously, this is not a complete point of view, but there is a beam or a vibration which comes from the eye. And we could also say that there's a first ray function which directs the devas as well. A first ray function from the eye directs the devas also. So this is a little bit of a deviation in the sequence. It's in the sixth position. The seventh ray is involved. It's not one of the usual kingdoms, at least along the line, which can become normally human. In other words, let's put it like this. Devas can become human, but they don't necessarily need to. Let's put it like this. Devas can become human, but they do not need to become so. But animals and plants and minerals are all on the way to becoming human because humanity is the microcosm, is the macrocosm, is their macrocosm. Not so with the devas, though, you know, there is a crossover point. There are so many devas compared, deva units compared to human units, that it would be impossible for all devas to have to pass through the human kingdom. There would not be enough space in the human kingdom. It is possible, it seems, for devas to individualize in their own way according to intensity of feeling, we have been told. And not, I guess, if you feel acutely enough, the center which feels stands out in the field of consciousness as a sensitive center, and the sense of I-ness is developed in that way. There's a much more mental development of the sense of I-ness through the I, for the human being. It's what the human being sees under the fifth ray that gives him individualization. But what the deva feels intensely enough is what gives individualization. So if you look at the eye, it's on the 1357 line, particularly connected with five, and it's more detached. I mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to touch what you see. But what you feel, you are touching, because feeling and touching go together, and that's the more feminine line. So the abstraction of the first ray is involved in the human method of individualization, and the contact of the second ray is involved in the deva method of individualization. And then finally, the base of the spine, which is the mineral kingdom, and interestingly related to the fourth ray, as I say, the mineral factor is in a way the fourth, because everything in the dense physical is mineral in its nature. In other words, the periodic table is operative and we're dealing with the elements. So the elements are the fourth factor in a way. We have the mental plane, the astral plane, the etheric plane, and then the dense physical planes. Synthesis is the goal. It's not an intelligent synthesis, but it's some... This is mysterious, what type of synthesis. We know the seventh ray is the ray of synthesis, and the fourth ray also is one of those rays producing synthesis, as is the second. But what type of synthesis? We know that in a way all minerals begin from the hydrogen atom. And we can say that there will come a time when there will be kind of a uniformity of all the elements. Will that be the synthesis? It's a foundational synthesis here. It's all one thing. In a way, the mineral kingdom is all one substance, one type of matter, variously arranged. So we know that the building up of the elements is a gradual process, and we are continuing to add the smaller units, and they produce the greater units. So there's kind of the foundation of it all is the very first atom, probably hydrogen. Well, I'm a little out of my field here. You know, some fifth ray disciple can step in and clarify this. All centers are functioning as one. Okay, well, there is a foundational completion here, and we're not talking about the usual centers. We're not talking about interaction as well. What would be, is there one remaining center? Okay, is there one remaining center, or are all centers expressed through only one center? What could we possibly eliminate? The sacral center would not be appropriate. You kind of wonder whether on some level, could the base of the spine center, which holds in incarnation, be active? Active at the beginning and active at the end, perhaps. Maybe all the centers are gathered into one, and it simply makes existence possible. The base of the spine center has the fourth ray connected with it. Base of spine center has fourth ray connected, and is presently, not always, fourfold. So etheric livingness is fourfold. Base of the spine is fourfold, the fourth ray is related, and yeah, I guess it is. Here I'm trying to derive this with my own reasoning, and it's just stated to be so. The base of the spine center. And all centers are, in a way, functioning through that center. That makes sense. It's the first kingdom of nature, and we know how powerful, in relation to the first ray, is the base of the spine center. The fifth initiation, you know, using the analogy, the fifth initiation is governed by the first ray and the base of the spine center. And a number of the planets associated with the base of the spine center, Pluto, ray 1, Mars, ray 1, not Mercury, but Uranus in one respect, ray 1, Saturn, ray 1. We have the first ray active here, and not just the fourth, though there is a connection, we are told, between the fourth ray and the first ray. Let's just say that after the fourth ray does its work of harmonization, the first ray always intervenes. Okay, friends, Maybe I've spoken just a little longer than I wanted to. But this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 120A, and we are on page 456, and beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure 120B, page 456.